And without any further ado, it is that time of the week. Time for Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. We're talking books. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
It's getting hot out there.
It is super hot. So how are you beating the heat?
I go to work.
Yeah, in an air-conditioned building. The only thing that I don't love about the South in the summertime is how cold it is inside. You ever notice this? Like, buildings will just set their AC at like 68 degrees for no reason.
So I was in Raleigh all day yesterday. I'm serving on this statewide library commission, which makes me sound very important, I know.
Yes,
yes. Pretty exciting stuff.
That's
anyways,
cool, yeah.
We're in the State Library building, which if you've never been there, it's pretty cool. It's where the State Library and
archives.
It's
no Chapel Hill Public Library. But
I mean, it's not that cool.
Pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah.
But so we're in there all day, and after like 2 hours, there comes this break in the meeting agenda. So we're going to take a break, and everybody says, oh, I'm going to go to the restroom. I'm going to grab some coffee. I'm going to take a tour of this area. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to go walk around in the heat because I'm freezing.
Yes,
it
right?
It was so cold.
Yes.
And so it was kind of like that sauna thing. Like, I was in the AC, and then I went out, and
I kind of got sweaty, and then I came in, and I got clammy.
And,
yep.
But yes, air conditioning, it's a blessing and a curse sometimes.
I will do this. I'll do a lot of my work at Panera because I got in the habit in grad school, and now I still do. But they have the thermostat set super cold. And I think it's primarily because the kitchen is hotter, so they set it so that people in the kitchen are fairly comfortable. So they're a little bit too hot, and we're a little bit too cold, and it all kind of balances out. But I'll walk out of there after being there for a couple of hours, and I'm like, 98 degrees.
Right? Feels great.
For like a minute, right? Yeah. And then it's like, oh, God, back in the store.
So funny you should mention Panera, because when you're at all day things like this, guaranteed.
Oh, yeah, it's catered
from Panera.
Yep. Bagels, coffee, and sandwiches. Which is in the afternoon. Yes,
yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's hot, but that's cool. I mean, it's cool at the library.
No pun intended.
Yeah, so it's funny how busy we are. We're busy anyways in the summer because of summer reading and all of our great programs. We're busy year-round. But when the weather gets like this, people just come and they just stay all day, which we love.
We love
it. But it's definitely a place to beat the heat.
Yeah, definitely. So cool. So what are we talking about today? We're talking books. We're talking about this day in history, right?
We are.
We're talking
because it's not because when we don't know what we're going to talk about and we email each other at 4:14 and say, what are we going to talk about? We say, this day in history.
Yes.
That's our fallback. I mean,
that's not why we're doing that. There's
because
a specific reason for it.
Fascinating things happened on this day in history.
Also because Scott Washington comes on Thursdays to do the History Matters segment, and we talk about this week in history, and Susan's like, I want to get the jump on Scott Washington this week.
Well, what I said when you told me that was that you're a cheater. I went there.
Scott,
you got
I'm a big old cheater.
This
yeah.
Day in history.
So not we're talking
the,
about this day in
not
history,
the talking
Scott.
Books is a contest. That
no,
I'm
of
trying
course
to win.
Not. But it is. It super is. But Scott sends me this, and we talk about this when he comes on the air, which he'll do tomorrow. He sends me this like great document with this week in history, and it's just pages and pages of this is what happened on
so
this day. This is what happened on
you
that
know
day.
You know today what happened tomorrow in the past?
Yes.
Whoa.
I can tell you what happened on July 20th.
And you didn't even need a flux capacitor to do that.
I mean, I have a flux capacitor. I don't need one, but who doesn't have it? On tomorrow day in 1969, Apollo 11 landed, first man on the moon.
Hey, now, that's something.
July 20th, yeah.
Who knew that happened or was going to happen?
I think a lot of people. I think everyone except Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber. On tomorrow day in history, 1954, Elvis Presley gives his first public performance on a flatbed truck for a drugstore opening in Memphis.
So two things there.
Scott, if you're listening, I apologize. We're just stepping all over tomorrow's segment.
But you're bringing up all kinds of things that are relevant to me and my life. Air conditioning, Panera.
And Elvis.
Dumb and Dumber and Elvis.
Yes.
So we will talk about books eventually.
Yes.
So last Friday night, we had our family every night. Is family movie night and pizza night. And we hadn't had one in a while because we've all been
traveling.
Wait,
every night is family
every
movie
Friday
and pizza?
Night.
Oh, every Friday
movie night.
Okay.
Movie night and pizza night. And we hadn't had one in a while for various reasons, so we all sat down, and the movie choice was Dumb and Dumber.
It's a good movie, right?
I did what I always do, which is fall asleep about 10 minutes into any movie on Friday night. And it finishes, and I wake up, and the boys are kind of like poking me, like, Mom, get up, go to bed. I was like, what did you think?
It's 2 in the morning.
Right? I was like, what did you think of Dumb and Dumber? They were like, it was pretty dumb.
Oh, good Lord. That's
and
true.
It really is a dumb movie.
Yeah, it's so funny, though.
And Elvis Presley, I was at the post office just like a week ago, mm-hmm. and I just needed stamps. And I never buy the fancy stamps. Right. I just get the
just
whatever.
Just get the book of whatever, yeah.
But I saw
whatever
they had
forever.
Elvis stamps. So I
oh,
bought
the Elvis
a giant
stamps are back?
Sheet of Elvis stamps.
Nice.
It's pretty great. I've had great joy putting it on all of the letters that I mail.
That's awesome.
Which isn't very many.
Now that they've come out with the forever stamps and you can just buy them and it doesn't matter how much they cost, you can still use them later. I feel sorry for Norm Gunderson from Fargo, who painted the mallard and got the 3-cent stamps.
That's
like
right.
No one's ever going to use those stamps
yeah.
anymore.
And then the postcard stamps, I guess those are still a thing?
Yeah,
are
yeah.
postcard stamps
I
still
think
cheaper?
So, yeah. Maybe, but, I mean, who buys postcard stamps? I just use if I ever buy a postcard, I'll just take a forever stamp and stick that on.
But you're wasting, like, 12 cents, potentially, or more.
Well, I'm also wasting a dollar on the postcard, because I can just pick up the phone and call someone. I've got
well,
a cell phone now.
It
works
way.
Everywhere.
All right, but enough about Elvis
okay,
and post
this week,
office
this
and Panera.
Day in history, all of that is tomorrow in history. On this day in history, lots of things happened, and we can use those as jumping off points to recommend books.
Go
Do you
want to
start?
It.
All right, cool. So on this day in 1692, with apologies to Scott Washington for providing all of this information for me, on this day in 1692, five women are hanged for witchcraft in Salem, Massachusetts. This is one of the...
That was today or tomorrow?
Today, July 19th, 1692. Sarah Good, Sarah Wilds, Elizabeth Howe, Rebecca Nurse, and Susanna Martin are hanged for witchcraft in Salem. It's one of the deadliest days of the Salem witch trials. So let us recommend that Roald Dahl classic, The Witches.
Yes.
Which is... I think possibly my favorite Roald Dahl book.
So I have reread many of his books. Mm-hmm. I have not reread that one in a long, long time. So yeah. I've forgotten. I mean, other than the broadest strokes of it.
Yeah. So this is the kid and his grandmother, who is like a witch hunter from back in the day, go on holiday to this hotel, and it turns out that just by sheer coincidence, it's the like annual convention of all of the witches in Britain, and they catch the kid and turn him into a mouse, and then he and his grandmother have to scheme to defeat the witches.
I love it. Makes me
using their own potion. It's such
now.
A great, great book. Yeah.
So I'll follow up that one.
All right.
Because I was looking at some This Day in History sites, but I did not see that. If you're interested in the Salem witch trials and you finish Roald Dahl's book, mm-hmm. The Witches, I would highly recommend. It's a recent book. It's come out in the last 10 years, if not more recent. It's called The Witches, Salem 1692. It's a nonfiction Ooh. Book. It came out in 2015. And the author is Stacy Schiff. She also wrote a really good biography of Cleopatra. So she's a pretty well-known nonfiction writer, but her book, The Witches, is one of the most recent and most well-done and most readable accounts of everything that happened and Nice. Context and... you know, what happened afterwards and how it's gone down in history. So
I like it.
There's another Salem witchcraft
And speaking
book.
Of witches, I just remembered this. Nothing to do with the Salem witch trials, but great witches in literature would be Macbeth. And next week, Tuesday, they're doing a special screening at Silver Spot at 7 o'clock of the stage production of Macbeth from the Stratford Festival.
Oh, nice.
Where you can go to the movies and watch it on the big screen. And apparently it's, like, really highly acclaimed. So.
Which I've never done that, but I know yeah. lots of people that go and see the opera at the movies
oh, yeah.
and do
it's,
all
it's
of
really
that
cool.
stuff.
I got to see, I mean, this came out as a movie about 10 years ago, but then they did a rescreening of it a month or so ago, the 3D U2 concert movie. From like 2004, 2005, 2006, something like that. I got a chance to go. I'm not even a huge U2 fan, but that was a fun experience to see that, like, not only live, but in 3D. So Bono was like sweating
like
on me.
I don't like the 3D either.
I generally don't, but when it's a movie that's specifically done in 3D to be seen in 3D, like Avatar, for instance, like that was a movie to see in 3D.
So that was not a movie to see ever.
Okay. But if you're going to see it, you should see it in 3D. I went to see, what was that, like the Johnny Depp Alice in Wonderland movie when that came out. We went to see that and we paid extra for 3D, and I walked out of that and I was like, A, that's not a good movie. B, the 3D was was so incidental. I walked out and I dropped the glasses in the thing and I was like, okay, that's it. I'm done with 3D
movies.
See,
I won't go see a 3D movie.
Okay.
Like if, say it's like some hot movie and like the only showing open is the 3D, I'll just wait.
You just wait. Yeah.
I won't go.
But if it's a movie that's like specifically like we went out of our way to make this in 3D,
then I'll
see it for that.
I'm grumpy
and old. That's fair. I'm with you the vast majority of the time. But seeing like Bono jumping out of the screen at you, like that was kind of cool. It was well done.
So we talked about U2 recently, I think.
Probably.
And there's a really great article, I think it was in the New York Times, in the last couple weeks, who it's a writer who like reflects on U2 and what they've meant and how they've both the peak of his fandom and how he lost his, you know, sort of taste for them, and perhaps he's gaining it back. It's a very, very, very good article.
Cool.
I think it was in the New York Times. But that's not a book.
No.
And we're here to talk
books.
That's
an article. Okay.
Okay,
you're
on
up.
This day in history,
yes.
July 19th, 1553, Mary I, a.k.a. Bloody Mary, replaces Jane Grey as Queen of England.
Happy brunch, everyone.
So I was going to say, so I brought us a couple Bloody Marys.
Thank you.
No,
thank
wait,
you.
I didn't.
What?
That would have been a great idea, though.
Yes, it would have been. It would have been a great idea.
In honor of the brunch bill, no. In remembrance of Bloody Mary's reign and Jane Grey's demise, I actually want to recommend two authors. So, two authors. Alison Weir is the first, and many people know Alison Weir. She's a British historian. She's written a lot about the Tudors, all of the English kings. She's a wonderful nonfiction writer. She wrote, one of her best-known one was The Boys in the Tower, and she's written quite a bit of nonfiction all about all of the kings of England.
Cool.
Especially in the Tudor era. And then she started writing fiction, and she writes very good fiction. So she wrote nonfiction first. Her history is spot on, and she started writing fiction as well. So her novel that I wanted to recommend is Innocent Traitor, a novel of Lady Jane Grey. So she takes the historical facts and keeps them pretty tight, and then she's a very gifted fiction writer. So Innocent Traitor, a novel of Lady Jane Grey.
Nice.
Then the other author that I want to recommend is highly readable, also extremely popular, but sometimes she probably takes some, liberties with the historical fact.
J.K. Rowling.
There's one. but I want to recommend Philippa Gregory. She's also a historian and a writer. Hers are, they're not quite the bodice rippers. They're just a little bit more lusty and sexy. And as I said, she probably takes some liberties with the history. So, and I just lost the title of her. She's written a lot of books.
So like legitimate history, but
it's
you can close
fiction.
Your eyes and imagine Jonathan Rhys-Meyers starring in them, right?
You got it.
Yes. Okay, got it.
In fact,
is good advice for just about any history book, by the way.
And Philippa, so both of these writers, Alison Weir and Philippa Gregory, have written a lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
But many of Philippa Gregory's have been turned into like Netflix series or BBC series. So if you saw The White Queen and several other ones, several of her books have been turned into it. And now I can't find the one that's based on Jane Grey. But anyways, in honor of that day, of that event, this day in history, Mary Jane Grey losing her throne, Alison Weir and Philippa Gregory, two authors to explore.
Awesome. The Last Tudor, is that the one?
That's it.
Yep.
Yes.
The Last Tudor.
You could be a librarian.
Yeah.
Well done.
What's that book about Jane Grey by Philippa Gregory? Just do a Google search for Philippa Gregory Jane Grey.
And we're going to be out
of
job soon,
No, it wasn't the top one. I had to scroll down a bit because apparently that didn't work all that well, but I got it. Okay, so next one I've got is actually not an event that happened this day in history, but someone who was born on this day in history is in 1883, Max Fleischer. Was born. He was born in Austria, moved to the U.S., and he and his brother Dave Fleischer were the creators of Betty Boop and worked on Popeye and a lot of great cartoons from the 1930s. And in honor of this animator cartoonist who moves over from Eastern Europe and is one of the great cartoonists in mid-century American history, The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay by Michael Chabon?
I say Chabon.
Okay, Chabon.
But
go with
that
it.
Doesn't mean I'm right.
Yeah. All right.
Cavalier and Clay is
Cavalier
such
and
a
Clay.
Great book.
I just read it. We talked about it, I think, earlier this year, because I think it was this year I read it. It's real good.
It's a great book.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so today in history, so you mentioned something in your, so I was looking at today in history, and I saw that on this day in history, I just lost it. Where is it? The space shuttle docks with the Russian space station in 1995.
Okay.
The American space shuttle Atlantis docks with Mir to form the largest man-made satellite ever to orbit the Earth. And then tomorrow, you mentioned something spacey related.
Oh, yeah, the anniversary of the moon landing is tomorrow.
The moon landing,
yeah.
That's tomorrow?
On July 20th, yeah, 1969.
I mean, not that I wasn't listening to you,
no,
but wow,
not.
Really?
Yeah. July 20th, 1969, we landed on the moon!
Right,
yeah.
So I'm going to recommend two movies and books together, thinking about space-related things that have happened on this day and tomorrow in history. Many, many people know the movie Hidden Figures.
Yes.
But they may not know that it's based on a book.
Mm-hmm.
So the book came out about 2 years ago. There's also a young reader's
version.
We
saw this.
Yes.
We were in the bookstore just this past weekend, and we saw Hidden Figures for kids.
Yeah.
What a great idea.
They do that for several things, especially for some more complex nonfiction books. So Hidden Figures, the book, for everybody who can read that, it's a really, really great book. And it was interesting. I remember my acquisitions and collections manager talking about she'd been somewhere and she got an early copy of it. And she was like, I never knew this story. And she got to meet the author. And I was like, wow, I had no idea. And then like a month later, the movie came out. So I'm guessing that she did the book and the movie deal together.
Yeah.
But then if you have a younger person in the house and the movie just resonated with so many ages and walks of life, the young reader's version is a great option.
Yeah.
And then the other book and movie that comes to mind when we talk about space is, of course, The Right Stuff.
Yes.
So great movie, great book. If you've never read the book, it's Tom Wolfe. It's one of those sort of novelistic journalism, that whole school of writing journalism or writing the news and nonfiction in a novelistic way, which Tom Wolfe was very, very famous for. But the book is great. And of course, the movie is a classic one. So
awesome.
In honor of all the space things, I recommend those two.
And also the other great space novel, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator by Roald Dahl. Back to Roald Dahl.
There you go.
Which I want to wrap up with because, how many other for young readers nonfiction books are there? Because we saw Hidden Figures and that was that's a great
idea, right?
And we should do that with everything. Like, I want Atul Gawande to be rewritten for younger readers.
That would be a great idea.
These great nonfiction books.
I feel like not a lot of them are coming to mind, although I know there are some. I feel like there was one, it was done about the atomic bomb or nuclear war or something, and they did a young reader's version.
Yeah.
It's a fairly new thing.
Yeah, it's a great idea. We just saw that this weekend. Okay, so I want to come back to Roald Dahl because there was one more birthday that happened on this day in history. This was in 1894. July 19th is the birthday of Percy Spencer, who invented the microwave oven in 1946, and he invented it after being inspired. He was working for some like scientific tech company, and they were working on a magnetron, which generates radio waves, and he stopped in front of it, and the chocolate bar that was in his pocket melted.
That's awesome.
And that is how he got the idea of, we can heat food with this, and he turned it into the microwave oven. So Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
And now we have microwave popcorn. So real quick.
And possibly also the Chocolate War. Is it Robert Cormier wrote
that
one?
That's a good book too.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
I Googled it because I took my tip from you, and I Googled it. There are several young readers editions coming up. up, actually. So there's Hidden Figures. Mm-hmm. There's a really great biography of Misty Copeland, who's the African-American ballerina who's been, she's at the American Ballet Company. She's very, very well known. They're doing a young reader's version of her biography.
Nice.
This is awesome. They're doing a young reader's version of Man's Search for Meaning, which is a classic nonfiction book. That's great. There are quite a few coming up. So I think it's becoming more and more of a trend of these are authors who are writing really readable, popular nonfiction on interesting topics. And then they just dial it down a little bit, reformat it, probably make it shorter for young readers.
So and is maybe it the contextualize same author? Or?
Oftentimes, yes.
Okay.
Yep, yep. So they probably offer more context to perhaps some of the stickier issues there and things like that. But it's a great option.
Awesome.
So we just talked some books, man.
There you go.
Susan
Brown.
See you next week.
Thank you so much.